Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Attention class, attention, your regular teacher is away. So please help me in welcoming your substitute, Mr. Gord Stellick. Gord Stellick is in for Jeff Blair on The Jeff Blair Show, Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That time of the year once again, you get up, a little bit of mist or dew on your car, the Canadian National Exhibition underway, so we're sort of the rite of passage of summer, and for the first time, what, in 22 years, we are talking about compelling Blue Jay baseball talk as we head into the month of September. Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair on a Friday afternoon, sort of our second last, heading into our second last official summer holiday type weekend, and tonight, maybe a series that well, unparalleled in many ways, as far as the Toronto Blue Jay fever goes, the passion, a sold out weekend as the Toronto Blue Jays welcome the Detroit Tigers to Rogers Center, and the drive, not to stay alive, but to stay in first place, never mind the wild card anymore. A 4-1 loss to the Texas Rangers yesterday, but still, as has been discussed, I heard them talking about it this morning, about 21 out of 25 games the Jays have won in the past little stretch, the hottest stretch ever in Toronto Blue Jay history. So a whole lot of baseball talk. We'll talk a little bit hockey later on. Mark Osborne, who I enjoyed covering the Toronto Maple Leafs with this past year, we'll talk about his new venture, and also a little Leaf talk that way. Jim Price, radio analyst from the Detroit Tigers. They were expecting or hoping to be one of those teams September 1st that were heading in the playoff drive, but they've kind of flipped with the Toronto Blue Jays. And Greg Wyshynski, editor of Puck Daddy, a little hockey talk with him. So he's on basically every other show today except the Jeff Blair Show. So we thought, why not bring Jeff Blair kicking things off on his show on this Friday? How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You know, first of all, I want to talk some baseball, but I see the book, Full Count, Four Decades of Blue Jays Baseball, written by Jeff Blair. And so is this a reprint? Because I've read this one before. Right?
It is a reprint. The folks at Random House very kindly decided that they wanted to reprint the book based on the sales of the book originally, but also on the success of the Blue Jays. So it's a good refresher course kind of for people who are just getting into the Blue Jays. It's a little bit about what went on in the 80s. It's a lot about recent years of the team and explaining a little bit about kind of the business model of the team and the transition from J.P. Ricciardi to Alex Anthopoulos. So, hopefully the Jays can continue winning and hopefully continue making it a topic of conversation.
Well, and I get criticized quite often about too much hockey talk, right? People have their favorite sports, and they'll say, oh, you talk too much hockey, too much Leafs, too much whatever. And I wonder if people are saying that about the Toronto Blue Jays, because to me, there can't be enough. I'm chatting with the intrepid Travis earlier, and now with Hutchison starting tomorrow, trying to figure out who's the player that will go down for a couple of days till they open the roster on September 1st, where you can, I guess, have up to 40 players. And we seem to think it's Josh Toley that after he catches Dick, he may just go down there for a couple of days, then come back up. But the part is, this is what we talked about for a decade, the minutiae of everything. So it may be boring to some people, but it's such an indicator of how far they've come this season.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's almost as if who catches Ari Dickey has become the new who's the third line left winger in the Leafs.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. Or who should be the backup goaltender in the Leafs? I mean, that's what winning does, you know, and the thing that I think is kind of interesting about this is, you know, 92, 93 was a different world. And you've got basically another generation of fans who've never seen a Toronto baseball team win in person. And you've got people who are consuming baseball in different ways through social media, certainly 92, 93. You know, you didn't have the around-the-clock coverage you get in Sportsnet. You didn't have Tim and Sid. You didn't have all these things going on that you have now. And there's just so many different avenues for people to talk about the success of the team and follow the team. And I think what we're really seeing here is something a lot of people have spoken about for a long time, and that is there's something about, and I think Michael Grange wrote a good piece on this in sportsnet.ca, there's something about a pennant race, the day-to-day nature of it, thinking about who's going to be on the mound for your team tonight, who are they facing, who's coming up, who's hot, who's not, you know, who is the manager going to play at first base tonight, when does the lefty-righty thing kick in, all this stuff. I mean, there's so many components to the day-to-day discussion that, I mean, you're really not looking for topics. You know, topics will present themselves. And I think Josh Tolley, that probably makes a certain amount of sense. We're not talking a long period of time. And I would think that they would likely, you know, let Josh catch Ari Dickey and then send Josh down. That would make the most amount of sense.
Jeff Blair joining Gord Stellick on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And, you know, you look at it as well that I think all these years ago, I remember a chat with Tom Henke, and he talked about coming from Texas to the Jays, and right off the bat, all his career, every game mattered. That when you have to go to work and 162 dates matter, you forget about that. That when it hasn't been that way for 22 years, that the worst thing about baseball is it's 162 games long when you're out of it. But the best thing is it's 162 games long, and it's just an incredible ride when you're in it.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds, because you know, David Price has been through the postseason wars. He's had to go through a pennant race a number of times. Same with Mark Burley. But you look around, you know, Josh Donaldson, yeah, Oakland's had their kick at the can. Ryan Goins has never been in anything like this. Justin Smoke, maybe to a certain degree. Russ Martin has been through it. But in terms of this particular group, this group has never gone through something like this as a group. Right, Jose Bautista and Edwin and Tulowitzki and Martin, they haven't gone through this as a group. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that sort of core group of athletes responds to the pressure that's going to be placed on them. I mean, Jose Bautista is about to play the most pressure packed month of his career so far, and he's what? I don't know, he's 32. He might be 31, 32, 33. So it'll be fun to see how these guys respond to it.
You know, I used to call it, or I've often called it, garbage time. And too many Toronto teams have unfortunately been that way, out of the playoffs at a certain point. And I maintain the stats shouldn't even count or should be watered down after that, because the games are meaningless. And this is the opposite now for the Toronto Blue Jays in September. And I'm curious, those teams that the Jays used to be, the teams that are out of it, and then they try new pitchers, they try new things. So it's an interesting mixed bag that you have teams that don't appear to be competitive, but then they have nothing to lose and they're trying things. And so things can go very badly for them, or things could go very well for that team.
Yeah, and the big concern always in September especially is when you're playing teams that are out of it, running out pitchers that you may not have seen before. Now, you've got advanced scouting reports on them and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, everybody's nightmare in the pennant race is going into the deciding game, and here comes some 22-year-old left-hander nobody's seen before. And, you know, he throws six shutout innings at you, and you go, where the hell did that come from? But, you know, the thing about this team, and I heard Greg Zahn talking about this the other day, and it kind of brought it home for me. When you look at this lineup, you think somebody's probably going to figure it out. You know, whatever's happening on any given day, you've got to think that one or two of the guys in this lineup are probably going to have a pretty good game. They're probably going to make pretty good contact. And that's one thing that having a deep lineup really, you know, really kind of makes a difference. And I can remember the Yankees when they were really good. Joe Torre used to talk about that, how he said, I've got a lineup of good professional hitters. And yeah, we might run into a guy who's incredibly hot one day. But, you know, he said, with Paul O'Neill and Jeter and Posada and Bernie Williams and Alfonso Soriano, somebody's probably going to figure it out. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at with the Blue Jays right now.
Well, the Tigers side, you get a break. No Justin Verlander, no Randy Wolf. And talk about a Matt Boyd, who former Toronto Blue Jay. And again, that's a classic example because this is the guy you think you should be able to feast on given the circumstances, but also he wouldn't mind trying to prove something.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing with Matt Boyd is, though, that I mean, there's kind of the flip side of that. The Jays know this guy pretty well. You know, I mean, in terms of scouting reports, they should have this guy figured out. It's a matchup that, you know, quite frankly, I'm not going to say any matchup would be a gimme. But if you look at the pitching matchups this weekend, you know, boy, as you said, you miss Verlander. You'd think that it would be tailor-made for the Jays, especially with a left-hander running out there. And the one thing with the Jays is they absolutely, absolutely destroy left-handed pitching. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be some motivation for Matt Boyd. But, you know, I don't know if that necessarily factors into things that much in baseball. You know, Matt Boyd's going to throw what he's going to throw. I don't think he's going to find an extra 6 miles an hour tonight because he's facing his former team. If anything, there may be a bit of an intimidation factor at work for the Blue Jays.
And I know you'll be on doing a lot of baseball coverage later on in the day. So just before we go to phone calls, I'm curious what's the biggest surprise for you when you get a chance to take a breath? What is the one thing that maybe has impressed you the most about this team?
Oh, it's got to be the bullpen. It's got to be the way Roberto Osuna has kept it together since he's become a closer. The way everything's kind of fallen in place. You know, yeah, the David Price deal was great. Troy Tulowitzki was great, but really, Mark Lowell, the Troy Hawkins. The acquisition of those two pitchers has suddenly the bullpen makes sense. Maybe for the first time since John Gibbons has been managing here, certainly in his second go around, the bullpen makes sense. But the biggest surprise to me, without question, is the fact that Roberto Osuna has been able to continue to do what he's done. You know, beyond that, if I had to pick a position player. It would be Kevin Pillar. You know, he hasn't hit a lot of home runs, hasn't shown a lot of power lately, but he plays great defense. He's such a useful player. And you know, Kevin Pillar, think about this. Kevin Pillar has gone from a guy who was sent down to AAA by the organization because he pitched a fit in the dugout one day to a guy who could very well be this organization's center fielder for the next 4 or 5 years. Like, can you picture anybody else but Kevin Pillar in center field for the Blue Jays? I just can't. And that's a remarkable turnaround. When you think how far his career has gone, and we're talking a year, that is remarkable. That may be the most remarkable individual story to me in the team.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think of all those guys going up and down. They always did that little roster jiggling and very aggressive early this season. And you do forget, yeah, Kevin Pillar, that is where he was at one point.
You know, a year ago he was sent down because the manager didn't like his reaction to being taken out of the game. You think about it, there are guys who get, you know, there are guys when that happens, I mean, their career is done with the organization.
Yeah.
You pissed off the manager. You're never going to be back. So I give a lot of people credit. Kevin Pillar went down to AAA, kept his mouth shut, played well, came in and won a job in spring training. And I think that's probably the most surprising individual story in this team because, honest to God, I can't see anybody else in center field for the Blue Jays the next 4 or 5 years. And that's a remarkable turnaround from a guy who was in AAA last year.
Might that also be a strength of John Gibbons, that there is an exit from his doghouse?
Oh, totally. I mean, the thing with John Gibbons is, David Price was talking about this the other day. John Gibbons doesn't have very many rules, you know, and people always say that about a manager. But in this case, he doesn't have very many rules. I mean, they've got a very relaxed dress code as a team. You know, he basically is one of those show up in time, do what your job description is, and every now and then kind of exceed the boundaries, give me something spectacular and we'll be okay. And that's exactly what he's like. And in terms of his doghouse, yeah, I mean, even Ted Lilly, people misread the whole thing with Ted Lilly when that situation developed. Ted Lilly and John Gibbons used to go running before games. You know, you'd see the two of them jogging around the outfield track before games, and they still did that even after that so-called showdown. So, yeah, his doghouse is, you know, it's a place for short-term stays, shall we say. You got to really have some serious issues to take up long-term residency in John Gibbons' doghouse.
Well, John Gibbons' house will be packed tonight at the Rogers Center. Sellout crowd. The Tigers taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Jeff Blair will be in for Baseball Central at 12 noon. And again, the book, Full Count, Four Decades of Blue Jays Baseball. And a great read, especially now, given the events of these past number of weeks. Hey, thanks very much for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you, Gordy.
Jeff Blair joining us. And we talk about those Toronto Blue Jays and what has especially intrigued you. What's been the most impressive element in this whole streak? And also, if they are going to have success maintaining this, getting in the playoffs and having success in the playoffs, what are those little as Jeff Blair was kidding, discussing the third line left winger with the Toronto Maple Leafs or with an NHL team, that kind of minutia, when you break it down, what is it you're looking at, or what has specifically impressed you about this team as we head into September for the first time playing meaningful, compelling baseball in 22 years? 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick in on Sportsnet 590 The Fan for Jeff Blair today. Reminder tonight, all the action here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Matt Boyd pitching for the Detroit Tigers. R.A. Dickey on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. That's on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays Central live at 6:30 p.m. on Sportsnet East Ontario, West Pacific. So basically all of Sportsnet. Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn. And Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler covering it. Our man Jerry Howarth, Siddle, Wilner, you name it. So we'll have it covered tonight and, of course, all weekend long as this, let's say, magical. It's kind of a magic if you're a diehard Blue Jay fan or even if you're a Johnny-come-lately or Jilly-come-lately Blue Jay fan. It's a weekend that the building is going to rock, and these are people that actually bought tickets, were keen fans. A lot of them bought them online earlier, weeks ago, months ago, some just late, and that's one big difference I've noticed from 20-plus years ago when it was wall-to-wall season subscribers. So it was a little bit more staid and not as loud as it's been lately at Rogers Center and should be this weekend. 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jay Baseball, we kick it off with Mel in Toronto. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Gordy. It's such a pleasure to talk to the GM. I always call you that, Gord. It'll never leave you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's like, what's like being a president of the United States, kind of?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the fact that you were bagging groceries for me when you were a young guy, that'll never leave my mind to see how successful you were, and I'm delighted for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Little Blue Jay baseball talk. What are you thinking? There was no Blue Jay team back when I was bagging groceries. They came a few years after that. So
that's correct.
The 2015 version.
Gordy, I saw my first game in 1952. That dates me a little bit. But the bottom line for this particular team, I went to see David Price pitch on his first game, the first game he started for us. And I got a shirt with no name on the back, and I put Production Inc. on the top of Donaldson's number. And the bottom line of all that is...
Sounds like your dog liked that too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sitting out on the deck enjoying a coffee. Bottom line, they're getting production from four parts of the equation. They're getting the hitting, they're getting the defense, which is superb other than the blip yesterday. Excellent starting pitching, and the relief pitching has been phenomenal. So when you put those four parts of the equation together, I don't know how far they're going to go. I'm not thinking World Series, but certainly it's going to be a pleasure to see them in the playoffs. And I don't see this team letting up, because when you look at Colabello and Smoke sitting on the bench waiting for their opportunity and generally always coming through, this is a really, really complete team.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate the call, Mel. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your time on the deck with a dog who sounds like also a Toronto Blue Jay fan. Too bad in Rob Godfrey's era, he always brought his dog to work at the Blue Jay offices, and they had the day you could bring your pet down. That's gone. Maybe that's one of the few losses people are lamenting, that pet day, bring your dog to work day at Rogers Center. 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jeffrey in Fergus. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hello, sir. Get straight to the point with you. I think it's awesome what's going on right now. I was born in May of 93, so I haven't had the opportunity to experience ending like this. And everywhere I go, Everyone's got the game on the radio in their car. There was a time when town and bars in town, they would only have one TV with the game on, and the rest would either be golf or it would be Hockey Central at noon. So everything is Blue Jays right now. I know some people are saying, well, Jesus, you know, there's a lot of people talking about it. Maybe it's too much. No, this is great. This is what Boston's like all the time. This is what New York's like all the time. We got to enjoy it. And thanks for taking my call. This is a really good time. It's a really good time to be a fan.
Yeah, appreciate. You know, and the thing is, if you're a Toronto sports fan, which I am, we deserve this. Like, we deserve this. We have been abused for so many years. Like, the whole cyclical nature of whether you're a sports talk radio station or you're a fan is every now and then you should just be an autopilot for some team that's just like the Jays are now. You should have that. And back when Jeffrey was born in 93, I can remember that's what it was like for both the Leafs and the Jays. It was a buzz. It was a buzz. And you got up in the morning and you were giddy and there wasn't enough things to talk about and you broke down, you know, the odd little thing like yesterday, okay, Jose Bautista's error, for example, whatever, but then got on to more and more of the positives. And this is the way it's supposed to be. Every now and then, it should be heading into September like this, like being competitive for a playoff spot rather than listening to J.P. Ricciardi talk about year eight of his five-year plan and about Russ Adams and how we don't understand he's going to be a great player, even though our eyes tell us he doesn't look like a great, all that kind of crap. I mean, this is just neat to sit back, enjoy it, and boy, those old days, too, when you could go up to Cottage Country and the Blue Jay broadcast just resonated all over the lake. You could just hear it. If you were just, you know, canoeing or going on a boat, whatever, you could hear it everywhere, that kind of thing. And we're getting that kind of vibe back. Aaron in Oshawa. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Gord. Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem.
I was just going to mention the same point there. I'm a teacher, and when the Jays first made that trade a few years ago to get all the guys from the Marlins, I started seeing a few more kids at school bringing their ball glove to school, wanting to play ball. But now it's completely ridiculous how many kids I'm seeing across the street from my house that are out in the field playing ball, and they're calling out, "Oh, I'm Donaldson, I'm Bautista," and starting up games. It's like it was when I was a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s. And we all got together and played ball. It's great to see it. I think that's going to have that lasting impact, far beyond what happens in this season.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the neat parts of this lost generation of young fans, if it, in fact it was or wasn't before. Well, they're found now. They figured out that this is where you can buy tickets, relatively speaking, affordable tickets. And that's been one of the neat things, the vibrancy they've brought to Rogers Center. One of our regular callers, Clifton, I could remember years ago, he was talking to me. He always goes, "Dr. G," and he was talking Raptors and how much his kids love basketball. And he was saying, "I can't bribe my kids to go to a baseball game. Like, I cannot bribe them," because at that point they found it too boring. Everyone's into video games and things like that. And now you got, like, my guy Justin Keen, as anything, his buddies about going to a game following the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's one great part the Jays have cultivated and worked on. And you see it now bearing fruit with all those young guys coming. Gord Stellick, 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Sorry, Travis, I just lost the thing here, so you have to give me the name in the ear. Who's next? Mark in Toronto. Hey, Mark, welcome to Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How are you today?
Good, Mark.
Good. So here's what I'm wondering. I'm loving the way the team is playing. In a ALDS, ALCS, you might have to see the Toronto Blue Jays play public enemy number one, the Kansas City Royals. Now, after the tempers that flared earlier this year with the the Sanchez suspension and the throwing in on Donaldson, how do you see the Blue Jays containing themselves and not wanting to create a problem for that series itself, or for, you know, a player to potentially be given some kind of be reprimanded if something should go wrong in that series? How do you deal with that already, the aggression that's there?
See, I like this. You've taken it to a whole different level now. Now we're trying to think. Most people are sitting back going, wow, about being in the playoffs and maybe playing in that play-in game. the one-game playoff, but now let's win the division, go that way. And the next step, I don't know if a lot of people are thinking like you about rivals. And all of a sudden, they hated Kansas City Royals, which sounds strange for to hear that. But you're right. There's been a little bit of bite between the two earlier this year. And I don't know. I haven't even, because this way this is taken by storm and enjoying it so much, I don't even know if it matters who the opponents are. I think a lot of it will come down to actually how the games get played out, because so often we hear, boy, there'll be, you know, it'll be, tempers will be flaring, things like that. We know well, again, to go back years ago, there was bite between the Jays and the Red Sox when they played in a couple of games that way during the regular season. There was some bite with the Oakland A's in the playoffs when Dennis Eckersley blew the top of his finger to indicate like he'd basically struck the Jays out, and then Alomar hit the big home run later on. So I welcome that. I welcome that. And I would love to see how it played out, because it's nice. It would be nice to have an opponent with a little bit of bite in it. But first, let's make sure we get there for the Toronto Blue Jays. Thanks very much for the call, Mark. We'll take one or two before the break. We got Al in Toronto. Hey, Al.
How's it going, Gord?
Excellent.
Before I ask my make my comment, just real quickly, how'd your son do in the TBA?
We're not going. We've got Labor Day weekend free. We lost to the second North York team on the Sunday morning, so I got outmanaged, and we will be home enjoying the Toronto Blue Jays. How about that?
Well, keep the dream alive, because this is our minor midget year, and we hadn't gone for 4 years. So
so you're going?
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations on that. That's a big weekend of baseball. The TBAs were the Toronto baseball playoffs the last couple of years, and it's serious, very competitive, fun baseball. And then the ones that are successful go to the Ontarios, which is on Labor Day weekend in different venues around Ontario.
Thanks for the plug. Real quick, I grew up in Montreal, and so I grew up an Expos fan. And I still remember going to then the Dome for a couple of Pearson Cups. And ultimately, slowly, as the Expos were no longer, started to get an interest in the Jays. And probably around 4 or 5 years ago, I became a genuine Jays fan. And man, oh man, what an unbelievable time to be a Blue Jays fan. It's just, there was an earlier caller just saying about everybody being into it, listening on the radio. There isn't a person that you can't talk to about it, even... You know, my wife is totally not a sports fan, but she wakes up in the morning and tells me about what happened, which is surreal, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, and she's talking baseball, right? Okay, what happened? Anyway, thanks very much for the call, and that's the way the buzz it is, and we'll keep it going. Of course, our phone number's here, 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. A big baseball weekend, to say the least. Sold out games at Rogers Center throughout the weekend. All the coverage here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on TV on Sportsnet. Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair. More calls when we come back on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair. He'll be in on Baseball Central at 12 noon this afternoon, and baseball continues to be our topic, the Toronto Blue Jays to be more precise, as we welcome phone calls at 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We've chatted about what especially has impressed you about this team, or maybe even caught you a little bit by surprise about this team as we head into a September of playoff fever for the first time in 22 years. And this is when you start breaking down the little things, the minutia. And I mentioned earlier, even now wondering, and we chatted with Jeff Blair with it off the top. Okay, so you've got Drew Hutchison coming back to pitch this weekend. Who do they send down to clear the way for a few days? And it would have to probably be Josh Tolley after he catches for R.A. Dickey tonight. And then, of course, come September 1st, you can open the roster and all these guys can come up for the rest of the regular season. They're not eligible for the playoffs and World Series and that kind of stuff, you have to get back to a normal size roster, but you're able to bring in designated pinch runners, an extra arm or two in the bullpen, a little more maybe defensive depth for the outfield, and all those other types of things. So, of course, I still think Roberto Osuna, and to me, that is the one thing through all the hitting, and let's face it, the series last weekend against Anaheim really showed that they're out of games, then they're never out of games. You get down by like 5 runs early, and as a team just waiting to explode and unleash their bats and their power. One column today was talking about, hey, don't forget the bottom four guys, that it's the bottom four that have also been coming up with clutch hits while everybody's talking about the power and displays on the top part of the lineup. And then you got the bullpen, but I still think the closer. Have not had a closer like that since really Henke and Ward way back when, and a 20-year-old kid to show that kind of composure in all these situations, I think was a big thing that got the ship righted and where it is right now. 21 wins in their last 25 games. 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Dimitri's in Oakville. Hey, Dimitri. Dimitri?
Gord, how are you?
Good, Dimitri.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, got you now. Go ahead.
Excellent. Well, I just wanted to comment on the Jays organization. I think when you take a look at Alex Anthopoulos and what he's done to this team and what he's built up, I think we've got to give him a lot of credit for this team and the trades that he's pulled off. And, I mean, I think he's probably the best general manager the Toronto area has had in the last 25 to 30 years. I can't see anybody pulling these moves off and creating such a great team so far. And I'm just curious to think what you think.
Yeah, big on Alex Anthopoulos, absolutely. And then when they were talking about different presidents, who it would be, I still have, I think most people with a mind, bring a business guy in and let Alex Anthopoulos, get him re-upped to continue to handle baseball operations. Best in the last 25 years, well, you know, Pat Gillick would sort of creep in there at the end of that initial era there that you're talking about. I think his record is pretty impressive that way. But beyond that, you had the Cliff Fletcher era for a little while going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And now, and again, this is one summer. Hopefully this is the start of a lot of good years and good rides for the Toronto Blue Jays and their fans. But what I really like, Dimitri, is 2 years ago they did that retooling and made the big, bold trades. And from the word go, unfortunately, it just got knocked off the tracks. And here they are 2 years later, back at it, never stopping. And I mean that in Anthopoulos' case, where they're focusing on developing young players, then deciding, let's go for the whole enchilada, and making these kind of moves, and just one after another, after another, after another, and getting this result. So certainly...
But, I mean, there's been guys that he's brought in that unknowns. Colabello, for instance.
Oh, I know. Exactly. No, it hasn't just been the big names. You're right. You're right.
Enormously. I mean, and then there's other smaller moves that he's made that have just worked out. And I think that's credit to his vision of where he wants to, you know, what kind of players he likes to see on his teams. And I don't know why they've not signed him to a contract yet. I mean, if...
Well, I imagine they're working on that, but it's that if Alex Anthopoulos is amenable, if there's not somewhere else he wants to go to, that to me would be a slam dunk, and good on him, because it's not in vogue nowadays to have a general manager or coach as a lame duck in the last year of his contract. That's something they've successfully argued for in all sports, that, hey, we can't be a lame duck. We always need that buffer of another year's security. The Toronto Maple Leafs let go a lot of people in their organization, and most of them had a year or two security as well when they were let go. So good on Alex Anthopoulos for walking the walk. Tom in Waterloo. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I think the thing, we can beat the stats and everything to death, and there's a lot of good ones, but the thing I've noticed is I think they're playing like a team. And I haven't seen that from this organization in a while. They just look like a team. They're playing like a team. They just act like a team. And I think that may be their best attribute right now.
Yeah, I don't know which begets which, that winning begets a better team or the other way around. Let's face it, if you're winning and the games matter, there's a lot more incentive to be that way. If you're out of it by the All-Star break, it tends to drag mightily last part of the season. But that intangible is huge in baseball. Even though baseball's more of an individual type sport than the other sports, that whole team element, you're right. And just about those kind of character guys. And I know Greg's on when we had him on just before the trade deadline. And he wasn't just talking about the guys they acquired on the field, but the intangibles off the field as well in that part about being a team. So I think you're bang on with that, Tom.
Anyway, that's what I've seen. And I wonder what Alex is worth in Washington this morning.
Well, I in a lot of places. But, you know, quite often, guys that have made their mark with one team, it's not as easy to make your mark with another team. Doesn't mean you don't go if there's more money being offered in that, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, he was a kid, really, starting out here, and Paul Beeston is a guy that saw something in him and championed him and supported him, and it was a professional-type marriage that worked out for Alex Anthopoulos in a big way getting the job. And, you know, good on him. He's been able to be the architect in this setup here in Toronto, and I don't know how portable that can be going somewhere else, but certainly I wouldn't. Hey, Pat Gillick had success everywhere else he went as well, and I certainly would think it would be the same if Alex chose to go somewhere. I hope it all gets settled. I think we all do. And we talk about a positive playoff run, a positive playoff experience, and having him locked up as the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays for many more years to come. 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair, and can't get enough Toronto Blue Jay talk at a time when it's usually the dog days of summer. You're trying to figure out what to talk about in the world of sports. We, of course, have all the action for you tonight and this weekend on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and also on TV on Sportsnet. Paul in Oakville. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk about Jose Bautista. And first off, let me say I love Joey Bats. I've loved him since he came to the organization, how he turned it all around. He's a great story. The foundation's built on him. But his fielding is slipping a little bit.
What, the one-off yesterday?
Well, then before that, there was a catch a few games ago, kind of close to the wall. I know it was a tight play, but he kind of missed that one. Didn't look great on it. Didn't look crisp at all. And then there was a few games before that, similar type play. And I remember thinking back then the same thing, that, oh, you know what, maybe, you know what, I know he's getting a little bit older. And then, yeah, yesterday just kind of, so I wondered. That was my call. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. It's funny. I think of Jose Bautista the last month, and again, watching games so closely, it just seems every game he's battling the sun. Just those balls going deep wherever they may be, whether it's at Rogers Center or on the road. It seems for both teams there's been a lot of games where sun was hugely a factor. I mean, yesterday's game was a one-off that he aggressively charged the ball that you could say inexplicably went under his glove, because it didn't appear to take a weird hop at all, but you know, one of those defensive miscues. I know he's, well, yesterday, if you look at defense, I mean, Will Venable makes that unbelievable catch for Texas in left field. And that's a huge difference maker that way, that you've seen defense come through for the Toronto Blue Jays time and time again. And that's a valid criticism, if you want to call it a criticism, that Jose Bautista generally isn't considered a Golden Glove winner. But I've seen him make some good plays as well. But if you want to question his glove a little bit, and maybe I don't think he's the guy you take out as if for a defensive replacement later in the game. But yesterday, yeah, was one of those little slips. Paul's in Lakefield. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was just thinking, and it's so exciting the way the Blue Jays are playing and the city's all excited. Do you not think it's taking some pressure away off of some of the other Toronto teams? So, you know, you don't hear much about the Leafs lately because it's all about the Blue Jays. And Toronto FC went on a few-game losing streak, but it's just, you know, just because of the excitement of the Blue Jays, it just, there's not much talk about the other teams.
Yeah, I don't know if the word's pressure, because I think people are satisfied. Say, I'll use the Leafs, for example, what they've done off the ice in the off season. It just takes away us talking about something that's really not an active story, but having to, like I said, it's the dog days in August generally, because there's not a lot of sports going full kilt. So I think they're happy that they don't have to, you know, talk and talk about Connor Brown or whatever it may be, or these types of things. It's funny. I know my brother's, Bob's first day as PR director for the Toronto Maple Leafs was 1985. And the first day of training camp, that was the Jays' first playoff run. in the afternoon, for the afternoon scrimmage, there were only two media members there. Just two. Just two. Everybody else was down at the Jays. That kind of excitement that goes on. So I liked it like later in the 90s when both teams were going, and maybe it becomes a little bit contagious. So we'll have to see this time. Thanks, yeah, thanks. From one Paul to another, we go to Paul in Niagara. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing, Gord?
We're good, sir.
Good, good. One of the biggest things I see just since the big trades have been made, and maybe it was even came when Donaldson joined the team, is they've stopped celebrating like maniacs over the littlest thing. You know, somebody hits a run scoring double, and we got an 18-step handshake and all these dances that they're doing around the entrance to the dugout. It seems much more business-like now. You never see the Yankees or the Red Sox when they were winning division championship series doing that kind of stuff. It drove me crazy, and I like to see now that, you know, guys are picking up their bats and going into the dugout after they score the run to win the game, such as Revere did in Texas the other day to win the game in the ninth. And celebrate in the dugout. What do you think about that, Gord?
Well, I do like the stirring thing. I know all the kids do it as well, mimic that. That's kind of a fun little trait that I know is in baseball and with the Jays. I agree that, like, the Kawasaki sideshow, I got a little tired of that. You know, that was, okay, he was a novelty, and so it'd be kind of fun, but it indicated you were nowhere near the playoffs, that kind of stuff. So, act like they say in football, when you get in the end zone, act like you've been there before, and that's a sign of a winner. And you're right about that with the Toronto Blue Jays as well. I've been seeing a lot more of that. I mean, there's been so many things to celebrate, though. Wow. I mean, they've absolutely had so many things to celebrate, but they're celebrating the real things right now rather than the novelties of teams that aren't having a good season like some of the previous years. Hey, when we come back, thanks very much, all the callers. We're going to talk a little hockey with Puck Daddy Greg Wyshynski. Later on, Mark Osborne will join us, Mike Wilner as well. Gord Stelick in for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.